We've been looking at a few parables, and I want to look at one today that you will find in Luke chapter 14. It's only found there. So this particular day, it happens to be a Sabbath, and Jesus is going to a prominent Pharisee's house for a meal. And so as he goes, he teaches. That's just what Jesus does, and I find it interesting that in any context that Jesus finds himself in, he always seems to find some sort of a teaching, something to teach about the situation. So let me talk a little bit about what happens before. The passage I'm focusing on is verses 16 through 24. But so it's Sabbath, Jesus is going to this place, and he observes a few things. He's standing there, and he sees the other guests are coming, and they find their place at the table. I find that a little bit odd. Usually when I invite somebody over, they don't take a seat at the table until I invite them there, or until my wife does, or my children, or somebody that is in that household. But here it seems they come and they take their place around the table. And so Jesus addresses that and talks to the guests. There's a little bit of work that needs to be done in how they choose their seats. Then he turns his attention to the host, and he talks to them about who he has invited. So this is in verse 12. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. So he says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So I ask the question, why would Jesus say this? We often read between the lines. I don't want to focus too much on what is not said, but I think there's something that we can maybe learn from that. I'm wondering if this first mentioned group are the ones that are sitting around the table. They are his brothers and sisters, his relatives, and his rich neighbors. Maybe a few wealthy businessmen or some prominent other people from in the church. Maybe a few of this second group are missing, or maybe there's nobody there that's from the second group. If we go back to verses 2 to 4 of the same chapter, we'll read that Jesus healed the man who was suffering from dropsy on his way here. So Jesus, I don't know what version you have in front of you, but dropsy is abnormal swelling. And so this would fit in with crippled or lame. Something's wrong with his body. It's a little different. So Jesus heals him, and then he sent him away. And so when Jesus sends him away, I'm thinking that he's probably not, hasn't been invited to this banquet, or else I really, from studying Jesus, I don't think that Jesus would have sent somebody away that was invited to the banquet. But he heals him and he sends him away. So I'm thinking that this guy with dropsy was not invited, and I wonder why. These questions aren't answered for us, and we're left to speculate. And we can do lots with speculation, but we can't really find solid answers. But regardless of that, it looks like this Pharisee's guest list needed some tweaking. He had not chosen wisely. So then in verse 15, one of the guests, as Jesus is sharing these things, in verse 15, one of the guests makes this comment. He says, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." So this sets Jesus off and seems to be the context in which he tells this next parable. And so let me read that. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you that not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. So we've been invited to many places for a meal over our lifetime, over our married life. I remember lots of them, but certain ones stick out. And so we were actually invited by a lady who is, well, she would fit into this category of the ones that Jesus says that we are supposed to invite. She was mentally challenged. So she invited us. Her love for the Lord was great, and she wanted to do what everybody else in the church was doing. People were inviting people over. They were making meals and inviting them in. She wanted to do the same thing, and so she invited us. I remember wondering what we were in for, because I suspected that this wouldn't be just everyday dinner. We went that evening, and I remember a great evening. But I do not remember who was blessed more, us or her. What does the man in this parable do? He too wants to give a great banquet, and so he prepares and then sends out invitations. But what's the people's response? Everyone seems to find an excuse why they can't come to this banquet. One has bought land, the other bought some oxen, and the other one just got married, so they could not come, and there remained a lot of room at the table. The servant then reported this to the master. The master became angry. Why would he become angry? Are you, or are the people that are invited, not entitled to make their own choice of whether they want to come or not? Isn't that why you send out an invitation? Maybe his anger is why the people didn't want to come. Maybe he had a problem of becoming angry. I don't know, it doesn't say. We do have a right to choose. In all actuality, we have a right to choose. But our decision to accept the invitation or not reflects on what we think of that person who is sending out the invitation. What is the first thing that you think about when you get an invitation? Who invited me? Is the person worth my time? What will they serve? As a kid, I would often ask, what are they having? Now, I grew up absolutely despising zamabarsh. And so if zamabarsh was on the menu, I would probably look for a reason not to go. Pizza, on the other hand, was good reason to go, because we didn't get pizza at our house very often. And I love pizza. This would tip the scales whether or not we would go or not. I would often ask, who else is going to be there? Who else is on the guest list? Maybe they have a nice house and you go, or maybe they have a little shack and you say, maybe I don't want to. Maybe they're not known for being the cleanliest person in the world. Really don't want to go there. So much of this decision is based upon who we think that person is that is doing the inviting. And rejection of the invitation is a rejection of the person that is doing the inviting. And I think this is why the master got angry. He was rejected. Not his banquet, but he was rejected. We come up with all sorts of excuses why we can't go, and we dress them up to try to make the other person feel better. I just bought 5 oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. I'm just swamped. This is going to take a lot of time. How many yoke of oxen can you try out at once? 1? I have 5 of them. I'm going to have to try them all out. There's tons of work to do, and this banquet is a complete waste of time. I'll eat on the run. I just bought a field, made a major investment. Why would we not consider that? There are legitimate excuses. I just got married. I must work on my marriage, so I cannot go. This one trumps in today's society, and this one gets a lot closer to home. Nobody will argue with you if you say, I need to work on my marriage. How about the ones that are not in the Bible? Tonight is our family night. We have Bible study tonight. I have a church meeting. My kids have something happening at the school or arena or whatever, wherever I should say. I always meet with somebody else on this particular night. I can't change that. We like to call these reasons, but truth be known that many of these are excuses because they help us get out of someplace where we really don't want to be. This is a rabbit trail of sorts, but if you allow yourself to think about it, you will find that what we do in our everyday life is exactly, with everyday people, is exactly what we do to God when we hear His call and His invite to join us on what He has going on. We have all sorts of other things going on. We find excuses why we can't. We will easily say God is most important. But when we evaluate ourselves, we will find that our actions tell that we think that we are most important. Let me continue a little bit in this parable. After the master gets angry, he instructs his servant, go out quickly into the streets, the alleys, and the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Since the classy people can't come, I will invite those that no one else wants to invite, and at least my banquet will be full. But the servant's response is this, what you ordered has already been done, but there is still room. Who were these people that were making these excuses? When Jesus taught this parable, it was the purpose of teaching a truth about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing. The certain man then in verse 16 must then be God, and God is preparing a great banquet. And he sent out his servant to invite guests. You see that those who were invited did not know who was inviting them. If they had, they would have dropped everything to attend the banquet because the banquet was the greatest event that would ever happen. The other part of the problem is that they thought they were greater than what they really were. They thought they were greater than the person who had invited them. They were more important, and this is why I know they didn't know the person that was inviting them to the banquet. The people who had the excuses were the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The problem was that they didn't know their own condition. Verse 13, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Jesus says this as an instruction before he gives this parable. When God gives a banquet, who does he invite? In Mark 2:17, he says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. When the master gives the second order, the order to invite the misfits, it has already been done. They had already been invited under the first invitations. Do you see that? Go invite the misfits. Now it's already been done, and they have all these excuses. Revelations 19:9 says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. This sounds much like the man's comment in verse 15 when he says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. John 11:11-12 says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But yet to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came to the Jewish people first, people his own, but they had all sorts of excuses and they missed him. The Jewish people were poor, crippled, blind, and lame. Then he went to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are poor, crippled, blind, and lame. But the Gentiles also have excuses not to come. Jesus concludes this parable by saying, not one of those who Not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. You see, when this parable is done, who's invited to the banquet? Everybody. There has been nobody that has been left out by the end of this banquet. Everybody has been invited to this banquet. Blessed is he who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. Not because he was invited, but because he came. He received the invitation. Today, the invitation to the banquet stands. Are your excuses keeping you from going to the banquet? It says not everybody will eat. You cannot earn eternal life on your own, and this life is short. Everyone has been invited, but only those who choose to come will experience the greatest banquet ever prepared, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Don't let the excuses hold you back. See them for what they are and respond.